Hallo Rainer.
Hi Manu.
Hi, hi. Ja, endlich klappt es mal mit uns.
Ja, hat lang gedauert, ja. Muss ich sagen.
Ist das Audio okay? Hörst du mich gut?
Ja, passt alles. Ich glaube, wir könnten loslegen, theoretisch zumindest.
Genau, die Frage ist, was wir vorher abklären müssten, wie wir überhaupt über Stanley Parable, heißt es Parable oder Parabel? Nicht, dass der Daniel mich wieder schimpft. Auf Englisch würde ich Parable sagen.
Mir wurde heute mitgeteilt, das heißt Parable.
Ja, würde ich auch so sagen. Ja. Wie wir darüber reden sollen, weil über das Spiel selber zu sprechen, du hast es auch schon gesagt auf Twitter zu mir, ist eigentlich das the unspeakable. Wie machen wir das?
Ja, keine Ahnung. Man könnte ja vielleicht, weiß nicht, vielleicht schaffen wir es irgendwie, die Metaebenen.
Ein Meta-Podcast sozusagen.
Ein Kilometer-Podcast wahrscheinlich dann sogar.
Ja, komm, lass uns einfach spontan anfangen mal. Das kriegen wir schon irgendwie hin.
Ja, können wir machen.
Und wenn irgendwie Spoiler kommen, dann warnen wir halt nochmal.
Genau.
Okay. Wunderschönen guten Morgen. Ihr hört Insert Moin bei superlevel.de. Ich bin der Manu und ich freue mich sehr, heute ihn mal im Podcast Äther zu haben. Guten Morgen, Rainer.
Guten Morgen.
Stell dich doch am besten kurz vor. Du warst zwar schon mal bei Daniel da, aber ich war ja schon so ein bisschen stinkig, dass du bei mir nie zu Gast warst. Du hattest eigentlich immer eine Ausrede, warum du nicht da warst. Aber jetzt ja. Habe ich dich verhaftet.
Ich wage mich wieder voran. Ja, ich habe mich schon mit Daniel ganz furchtbar zusammenschimpfen lassen müssen und ich entschuldige mich da nochmals in aller Form. Ja, ich wurde schon des Öfteren eingeladen und jetzt habe ich es endlich auch geschafft, bei dir vor dem Mikro zu sitzen. Ganz kurz zu mir. Ich bin Journalist und Blogger und schreibe für verschiedene Medien, nicht nur über Computerspiele. Über Spiele schreibe ich für FM4, das Jugendradio in Österreich, für den Standard und für mein eigenes Blog videogametourism.at.
Darf ich FM4 eigentlich noch hören mit meinen fast 35?
Naja, ich hoffe es schon sehr. Ansonsten steche ich dann schon bei des Großvater irgendwie aus der Zielgruppe heraus. Ja.
So, das Spiel, über das wir heute reden, Stanley Parable, ist ein, wie soll man das erklären? Beschreib doch mal am besten, um was es bei dem Spiel geht. Dann habe ich die schwere Aufgabe nicht.
Stanley Parable ist wahrscheinlich die Apotheose des Meta-Kommentars, der narrativen Grundtendenz des First-Person-Shooters, sich selbst. Naja, man muss das so machen, oder? Ich meine, anders kann man über das nicht sprechen. Ich habe mich da gut vorbereitet. Also man muss es so angehen. Ansonsten redet man dran vorbei. Man
kann wie sieht denn das jetzt aus, wenn du dann mit deinem Akademiker-Quatsch da ankommst?
Na, Entschuldigung, ich meine, okay, gut, ich kann es versuchen, das vielleicht ein bisschen herabzubrechen für die weniger.
Ich habe mir keine Fremdwörter hier rausgeschrieben. Mann, ach scheiße, komm, wir fangen nochmal von vorne an. Ist doch scheiße so. Nee, lass uns, also ich fände es irgendwie zu verkopft. Das Spiel ist ja selber schon so. Also wenn wir jetzt hier anfangen, irgendwie so verkopft zu werden und da die psychologische Ebene und sowas zu besprechen.
Ja, ich meine, ich finde, ich komme jetzt extra da tatsächlich und dann gleich so eine Abfuhr, aber na gut, na okay. Ja. Na,
Entschuldigung, aber lass uns doch mal neu anfangen.
Gern. Sicher, geil, ich bin doch.
Ich bin ja eher so ein bisschen emotionaler, also lass uns doch so ein bisschen versuchen aufzugreifen, warum das Spiel Spielspaß bringt, warum man spielen sollte.
Gut.
Wunderschönen guten Morgen, ihr hört Insert Moin bei superlevel.de. Ich bin der Manu und bei mir zu Gast jemanden, den ich mir schon oft gewünscht habe, der endlich auch da ist. Guten Morgen, Rainer.
Hallo Manu.
Hi. Du bist von Videogame Tourism, Journalist und Blogger, schreibst unter anderem auch für nicht nur über Spiele, bist auch bei FM4, einem wunderbaren Radiosender aus Österreich, tätig. Ich weiß nicht, ob ihr da schon geredet habt über The Stanley Parable. Darüber würde ich gerne mit dir heute ein bisschen sprechen wollen. Ah.
Wir haben noch nicht drüber gesprochen, aber das wird sich schwierig gestalten wahrscheinlich.
Es wird sich schwierig gestalten, darüber zu reden, meinst du?
Auf jeden Fall.
Dann lass uns doch probieren, auszudrücken, warum man dieses Spiel spielen sollte. Also ich habe das Stanley Parable gespielt und ich war wahnsinnig fasziniert davon, weil es mit meinen Erwartungen gespielt hat. Ja, also gerade wir als Core-Gamer haben ja schon sehr, 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 sehr viele Spiele über die Jahre gesehen und erlebt. Und man hat ja oft so dieses Gefühl, ich weiß jetzt, was kommt. Und okay, es macht mir zwar trotzdem noch Spaß, aber eigentlich, wenn ich ehrlich bin, bin ich so ein bisschen enttäuscht auf einem hohen Level, weil eigentlich laufe ich doch nur durch den Schlauch und drücke irgendwelche Knöpfchen. Und zum Beispiel Anti-Chamber hat es geschafft, dass die Rätsel präsentiert werden, die die eine andere Lösung erfordern als die, die du eigentlich gewohnt bist von Spielen. Und so ein bisschen ist The Stanley Parable ohne Rätsel für mich.
Es gibt aber doch in Stanley Parable tatsächlich, ohne jetzt zu viel zu verraten, ein Spiel, und zwar eines, das die wenigsten jemals nur sehen werden, und zwar, weil es nämlich daraus besteht, 4 Stunden lang denselben Knopf zu drücken. Und ich spoilere da, glaube ich, nicht zu viel, wenn ich jetzt davon ausgehe, dass die wenigsten es wahrscheinlich machen werden. Ich zum Beispiel habe das genau einmal gemacht und habe dann dieses Pointe abgetan, dass tatsächlich da 4 Stunden ich jetzt aufgefordert werde, immer wieder denselben Knopf zu drücken. Es gibt jemanden, der hat das tatsächlich gemacht und wurde belohnt. Nämlich, es ist tatsächlich alle 20 Minuten erscheint der Erzähler wieder und feuert ihn an und am Schluss erfährt man tatsächlich den Sinn des Lebens. Ich habe es auf YouTube gesehen und ich kann es jedem nur empfehlen, das selbst zu machen.
Du greifst ein bisschen vor, genau. Es gibt nämlich einen Erzähler. Bastion ist ja eigentlich eines meiner Lieblingsspiele der letzten Jahre gewesen, weil es dort einen Narrator gibt, einen Erzähler, der quasi das kommentiert, was du machst. Und hier ist es eigentlich umgekehrt. Der Narrator fängt dann an, mit dir zu sprechen, wenn du irgendwas nicht machst.
Na, er spricht ja schon zuvor mit dir die ganze Zeit. Also er spricht die ganze Zeit mit dir. Und es ist ähnlich wie bei Call of Juarez, Gunslinger, ebenfalls ein ganz großartiges Spiel mit einem unzuverlässigen Erzähler in diesem Fall. Der Kommentar macht das Spiel und er zeigt eigentlich ganz deutlich, dass das Ganze, man befindet Hallo? Sich wie die Ratte im Tiergarten.
Hallo?
Im Irrgarten.
Rainer?
Was ist jetzt?
Hörst du mich?
Ach, ja, ich höre dich schon. Ach, ich sage so intelligente Sachen schon wieder und es ist
Rainer
geworden draußen. Manu?
Rainer?
Das steht unter keinem guten Stern, das Ganze.
Hallo?
Hallo, Manu?
Jetzt höre ich dich wieder.
Na super, ich habe jetzt gerade total intelligente Sachen über den Sinn des Lebens und Ähnliches verraten und jetzt wird das alles der Nachwelt nicht aufbewahrt.
Tut mir echt leid, es sagen zu müssen, aber ich glaube, vielleicht sollten wir nochmal einen anderen Ansatz wagen.
Einmal mit Profis.
Oh Mann, tut mir echt leid.
Ja, na gut. Ja, ich weiß nicht, wie das bei euch in Deutschland so ist. In Österreich ist das alles viel professioneller. Das war jetzt eigentlich, aber okay. Na, ein bisschen war schon Wahrheit dran.
Vielleicht also, enttäuscht. Verstehe mich nicht falsch, aber ich habe irgendwie stimmt die Chemie nicht so zwischen uns. Also ich habe mich ja schon so ein bisschen drauf gefreut, dass ich endlich mal den großen Rainer Siegel bei mir im Podcast habe. Daniel hat auch schon so geschwärmt von dir, aber...
Naja, es beruht auf Gegenseitigkeit, bin eigentlich... Hätte ich irgendwie auch größer vorgestellt, muss ich sagen, so rein von der Stimme her und so.
Ja, außerdem hallst du pervers und dann bricht Skype irgendwie ab. Also das war der, jetzt habe ich fast 900 Folgen aufgenommen, aber ich habe noch nie irgendwie so viele Anläufe gebraucht. Irgendwie kommen wir da nicht auf den grünen Zweig.
Versuchen wir es nochmal. Einen Start noch.
Wenn das aber nicht klappt, dann weiß ich auch nicht.
Ja, dann weiß ich nicht, dann kannst du ja vielleicht, keine Ahnung, dann hol dir halt wen, der sich wirklich auskennt. Wenn du wen findest, vielleicht findest du ja wen, der mehr über das Spiel sagen kann als ich jetzt. Ich wage es zu bezweifeln, ich habe schon damals, als das Spiel nur irgendwie ein Mod-Projekt war.
Oh, das stimmt, darüber können wir reden.
Ja, genau, das ist vor Jahren schon, als nur keiner das gekannt hat.
Du bist so ein Hipster. Ach, na, du hast Stanley Parable schon gespielt, als er noch keiner kannte. Also gut, letzte Chance.
Ich traue mir sogar zu sagen, ich war schon ein Hipster, bevor es cool war.
So, ich fange nochmal an.
Okay.
Wunderschönen guten Morgen, ihr hört Insert Moin bei superlevel.de. Ich bin der Manu und bei mir zu Gast der Rainer. Guten Morgen, Rainer.
Hello.
Du bist von Videogame Tourism und auch Journalist, schreibst für FM4. The Stanley Parable ist ein Spiel, über das ich heute mit dir sprechen möchte. Und ich bin so ein bisschen unschlüssig, wie ich darüber reden soll, weil es mangelt eigentlich nicht an Spoilern, um über dieses Spiel zu sprechen. Und ohne das Spiel wirklich zu erklären und auch gewisse Sachen und Enden zu spoilern, kann man es eigentlich auch gar nicht richtig verkaufen.
Ja, ich finde, das ist eigentlich schon ein bisschen so ein Krebs, der den gesamten Games-Journalismus durchsetzt, diese total penetrante, nervige Angst vor Spoilern die ganze Zeit. Überall herrscht große Angst vor Spoilern. In Bioshock darf man nicht spoilern, in Stanley Parable darf man nicht spoilern, man darf nirgends darf man spoilern, man kann überhaupt nicht über sein Feld reden eigentlich, weil rundum alle wie die kleinen Mädchen aufschreien und sich die Ohren zuhalten und la 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 schreien, sobald man irgendwie was anderes drüber sagt.
War das jetzt Sexismus eigentlich?
Ja, gern. Ach so, wegen den kleinen Mädchen. Naja.
Nee, aber das habe ich mich schon wirklich gefragt. Darf man sagen, weint wie kleine Mädchen oder muss man jetzt immer kleine Kinder sagen? Also ernsthaft jetzt.
Wäre es dann nicht vielleicht Ageism?
Ach so, auch nicht gut. Wie dicke kleine Kinder.
Ich habe heute gesehen,
wie dicke kleine Waldorfschüler oder sowas. Das
ich habe heute einen super Werbespruch gesehen, da ist gestanden, dicke Kinder werden weniger oft gekidnappt. Das war auf einem Bonbonladen.
Boah, fies. Aber die halten doch, na okay. Lass uns doch über die Spoiler-Geschichte sprechen. Ich finde auch immer, ich bin immer so ein bisschen zwiegespalten, weil einerseits finde ich Spoiler auch ätzend, wenn ich sie irgendwie erwische. Also, keine Ahnung, bestes Beispiel Breaking Bad Finale neulich, da war ich wirklich irgendwie kurz davor. Nee, ich war nicht nur kurz davor, ich habe dann Twitter ausgemacht, bis ich die Folge gesehen hatte, weil man freut sich ja dann doch immer über Plot-Twists und über irgendwelche unvorhergesehenen Ereignisse in irgendwelchen Sendungen. Und dann gibt's aber auch wieder so Spoiler wie bei How I Met Your Mother, wenn sie halt das Foto der Mutter zeigen, wo ich dann sagen würde, das ist kein Spoiler, das ist halt einfach nur, man hat ja dadurch noch keine Geschichte oder kein Schlüsselmoment erlebt, wenn man nur dann weiß, wie die Tante aussieht.
Dann reden wir jetzt über TV-Sendungen oder was ist jetzt da? Ich meine, ich ja, opfer eine wertvolle Zeit und jetzt sprechen wir über How I Met Your Mother. Ich meine,
ja, Entschuldigung, das ist eine tolle Serie.
Wirklich, tatsächlich. Ich weiß nicht, okay, ja gut. Ja, Geschmäcker sind verschieden, logischerweise natürlich.
Ja. Oh, jetzt muss ich schon wieder, ich hasse Podcasts schneiden, das weißt du doch.
Ja.
Also nochmal einen Schritt zurück. Spoiler. Ich bin da ein bisschen zwiegespalten, weil es gibt ja einerseits Spoiler, die einen wirklich irgendwie ins Grab bringen, wenn man irgendwie weiß jetzt, was beim Ende von Breaking Bad passiert. Aber wenn man es dann gesehen hat, dann denkt man sich, ja, so schlimm wäre es jetzt auch nicht gewesen, wenn ich das gewusst hätte. Oder? Also ich meine, ich habe auch mal so bei Nerdcore einen Artikel gelesen, dass er gesagt hat, so ein Professor, amerikanische Wissenschaftler haben herausgefunden, dass es, wenn du über Spoiler schon Bescheid weißt, eigentlich der Genuss des Produkts danach noch besser wird, weil du aufmerksamer bist, was da eigentlich da dazu hinführt, zu diesem Punkt.
Das ist durchaus möglich. Insofern wäre das, was wir jetzt da gerade machen, wahrscheinlich, würde das, was wir jetzt da machen, eigentlich jetzt, glaubst du, den Genuss von Stanley Parable erhöhen oder eher nicht?
Gute Frage. Also ich wusste jetzt relativ wenig über das Stanley Parable. Du kanntest schon die Mod, gell?
Natürlich.
Natürlich. Was unterscheidet die Mod eigentlich von dem jetzigen Spiel groß?
Es ist prinzipiell ja genauso wie bei Dear Esther, dass eigentlich die Mod schon ein gewaltiges Ausmaß an Polish aufgewiesen hat. Das heißt, die hat eigentlich schon sehr gut genauso funktioniert. Ich glaube, der große Vorteil die HD-Version ist, hat, ist natürlich, dass es eine Standalone-Version ist und dass sie was kostet, weil David Redden hat ja inzwischen sich da eine kleine goldene Nase verdient. Zu Recht, möchte ich hinzufügen.
Aber würde es jetzt den Genuss schmälern, wenn man weiß, dass es ein Spiel über Spiele ist oder ein Spiel über die Entscheidungen eines Spielers und so weiter? Das würde doch den Genuss nicht wirklich schmälern, ganz im Gegenteil, weil es wird ja eigentlich nach den ersten 2 Minuten schon klar. Also das meine ich damit, der Impact von so einem Spoiler, ja, ruiniert es dir irgendwie den gesamten Film, wie bei The Sixth Sense? Da würde ich sagen, ist der ganze Gag des Films weg, wenn du den Spoiler weißt. Aber wenn du jetzt wüsstest, dass Darth Vader der Vater ist, dann wird dadurch der Film auch nicht so wahnsinnig viel schlechter. Also es gibt, glaube ich, da nochmal eine Unterscheidung zwischen der Art der Spoiler.
Ja, grundsätzlich schon. Allerdings, wie gesagt, das schönste Beispiel dafür, dass das eigentlich egal ist, ist wahrscheinlich Titanic, der Film.
Stimmt.
Sehr schön. Ja. Also da macht es ja eigentlich wahrscheinlich weniger aus, dass man weiß, ob es jetzt tatsächlich der Eisberg gewinnt oder das Schiff. Schwierig zu sagen. Problematisch ist es insofern nur, weil es natürlich spielfernen Menschen dadurch irgendwie wahrscheinlich noch schwerer verständlich wird, warum ausgerechnet sie jetzt irgendwie Stanley Parable spielen sollen, was ganz anders ist als alle anderen Spiele, die sie kennen und nicht mögen. Weil ich bin ja der Meinung, es sollte ja jeder Stanley Parable spielen. Von meiner Mutter begonnen bis zu unserem Rauchfangkehrer, bis zum Bäcker, bis zu rundum alle.
Ein schönes Schlusswort. Wunderschönen guten Morgen, ihr hört Insert Moin bei superlevel.de. Ich bin der Manu und bei mir zu Gast der Rainer. Guten Morgen.
Hallo Manu.
Hallo. Ich würde gerne mit dir sprechen über die Frage, ist Stanley Parable überhaupt ein Spiel?
Ja.
Wunderschönen guten Morgen, ihr hört Insert Moin bei superlevel.de. Ich bin der Manu und bei mir zu Gast Rainer Siegel von Videogame Tourism. Guten Morgen.
Guten Morgen.
Hallo Rainer. Ist Stanley Parable ein Spiel, ist die Frage, die ich an dich habe.
Nein.
Wunderschönen guten Morgen. Ihr hört Insert Moin. So sage ich das nie.
Wunderschönen guten Morgen. Willkommen bei Insert Moin bei Superlevel. Ich bin der Rainer und ich habe bei mir heute den Manu. Hallo Manu.
Hey, schön mal da zu sein.
Ja, das freut mich auch besonders, dass du jetzt mal bei mir bist. Ich habe das schon oft Moment.
Irgendwas stimmt nicht.
Moment.
Wunderschönen guten Morgen, ihr hört Insert Moin bei superlevel.de. Ich bin der Manu und ich freue mich sehr, den Rainer zu Gast zu haben. Hallo Rainer.
Hallo Manu. Du Manu, gleich zu Beginn,
Was?
ich weiß, ich habe dir jetzt zugesagt, dass ich da jetzt irgendwie spreche, aber es hat sich gerade herausgestellt, es geht leider nicht, weil bei mir kommt jetzt der Klempner und draußen ist total der Sturm gegangen und es war dann irgendwie diese Flutwelle an der Donau und meine Freundin hat mir angerufen und
Ja, was meinst du denn? Immer hast du eine Ausrede für den Podcast.
Es tut mir wirklich leid, ich muss jetzt leider sofort weg, aber
ja, und
frag doch einfach bitte den David Redden selbst.
Okay? Mit wem? Was? Den Davy? Ich soll jetzt den Macher selber rausfinden und anrufen und interviewen und nur weil du... Oh, Rainer? Oh, scheiße! Wunderschönen guten Morgen, ihr hört Insert Moin bei superlevel.de. Ich bin der Manu und wir haben heute schon wieder einen englischen Gast und schon wieder aus Texas. Good morning, Davy.
Good morning.
Hi there. Maybe you should introduce yourself to our listeners.
Sure. My name is Davy Reedon. I am one of the designers on Stanley Parable. I am the creator of the original mod, the Half-Life 2 mod that came out in 2011. And on the new version that we've been developing for the last 2 years and that came out just over a week ago, I was kind of the writer and general director overseer of the project.
Okay. I was wondering why you call yourself a designer and not a writer, because in the game itself, you're listed as a writer.
It's tricky, right? Like in the credits, it's listed as written and designed by Davy Reedon and William Pugh. You know, we don't, the roles were very fluid, right? Like it was never like specific, is never entirely one person doing one thing or the other. Mm. You know, we kind of handed it back and forth a lot.
Sure. So, how are you? It has been a rough couple of days the last since the release. I figured, everybody's talking about your game. Every press site and magazine is making one meta article after another. How are you?
It's been a lot. Just this morning, Penny Arcade posted a comic about Stanley Parable.
Wow.
So like. You know, still it's coming in and it's been pretty overwhelming. it's a lot to deal with, and it's been very good. I'm really happy about everything and how it's gone so well, you know, but it is also very draining, you know. it's starting to die down now. It's starting to actually kind of, you know, cool off a bit. I'm really happy about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it comes together with the phase after a launch, I guess, where people always talk about that they drop into a big hole after some big projects like that, and
yeah.
That combines with the media coverage.
I was really aware, you know, that kind of thing has and does happen, and I made sure that I'm around a lot of people who are good influences on me. I think that's one trap that's easy to fall into is to be sort of alone and isolated, and that can become really depressing for people. And so like I've made sure to keep really good people around me. But, you know, the reality is that I've been up and down, you know, like it's been tricky. There have been days that I've felt really, really unsteady. And just because, like, for whatever reason, like, I think that what happens in a circumstance like this is that when you do this, when you, like, release a game or a project or a work that's, you know, as close to your heart like this, you make yourself really, really vulnerable, you know?
Mm.
And you kind of, you're sort of at the mercy of whatever influences happen to come your way. Right, like it becomes a lot easier to just get sucked up into like an emotion or a state of mind or an anxiety or a problem or something like that. And so, like, you know, it's also really, really positive and fantastic. But whenever there's something stressful or just whenever there's a lot to deal with, it becomes magnified. You know, like 1,000 times over, you feel that anxiety like 100 times stronger than you would have normally, just because you're in kind of like a very weak state. You know, you don't have a lot to defend yourself with emotionally, right?
The interesting part about this is that the game is a huge success, you know? Like,
yeah.
Isn't it like paradox that everybody thinks, wow, it's a huge success, and why are these guys vulnerable? Even, you know, like Phil Fish, like everybody loved FES, but he got destroyed by the negativity. Mm-hmm. How does that happen?
This is, you know, it's tricky because you can't, I can tell you this, but in the way that, you know, like when I hung out with, in the time that I've spent with Phil, I've always known that he's a really smart guy with his head on his shoulders. And when he, you know, when I know that he's gone through this stuff, it's like, I understand and I believe him, but until you go through it, it's really, really hard to describe. Like even with a close friend who you know trusts, you know, you trust and who you would believe in, it's, you just can't tell it to someone in the same way, right? Because it's a rare thing to go through. You know, when a lot of people are playing your work, like this work that you've spent years, you know, producing, that is this thing that is, you know, this passion project that's your heart and soul, that is, has all of these elements that you want to express to the world. When this huge sudden wave of people comes in and begins playing that, it has this effect that I can only just describe as being kind of like soul crippling, like having your legs kind of like swept out from under you. You know, for several days, it was all I could do just not to cry, you know, like especially when we released the demo, right? And that really happened with the demo, because suddenly all of these people, you know, we were just like alone in a bubble, basically, like making this game. And then suddenly one day, thousands of people have played it and are talking about it and talking to me. And it's the change, the very, very sudden change, you know, to go from one thing to the other. Mm-hmm. It was so hard not to just, I was just emotional, right? I was just like purely just a raw ball of emotion. And I'm actually glad that that happened, so that when the main game came out, I got some of it out of my system. But then the main game had like new stresses as well. Mm-hmm. And I know that like it's really hard to describe this, because you sound like an asshole, like saying this kinds of stuff. But like, you know, when you know that there's a lot of money coming in, it's nice up to a certain point, and then it crosses a certain threshold, and then like after a certain point, the more money that I made, the more anxious and stressed I became about it, and I started just like obsessing over all of the money I wasn't making, and were there things I did that I could have made more money, and oh, it would have been, if only we hadn't done this thing, we would have more, and how much did other people make? Did I make more than this other person? Did I make less? Am I rich now? What qualifies as rich? Right?
Like, I loved it how you described it in your postmortem, that you said it's a very poisonous kind of mind state, and that it becomes like an high score, you know, like you want to beat the other indie developer who made this amount of money. And I really, really loved your argument that you said that you see it as now you can develop whatever you like with the money equals time.
Well, that's how I'm thinking about it now, and it's what I was trying to convince myself of at the time, you know, even though I didn't really, I still, you know, I was still in a very competitive headspace for a while, but now I've calmed down a bit, and I look back at that, and it feels like a different person thinking those things, you know, like I was competitive with other developers to make more money. What was I thinking? Right. Like, it's ridiculous, you know, but it was totally real at the time, and it you know, like I said, it's a ridiculous problem to complain about, like having too much, making too much money, right? But but there was a period of time where it really was difficult, and now what it is like, okay, I know that I can get into whatever new projects I want to now without having to worry about the making money side of it. You know, because we worked really, really, really hard with Stanley Parable at the making money side, right? Like, we put a lot of effort into how are we going to make this financially viable? Yeah. And I don't have to do that, you know, anymore. I can purely just work on creating entirely new things, right? And that's exciting to me, and that's thrilling, and that's the headspace I want to be in with it, is to know that I have that freedom.
Regarding the game coverage, the press coverage, are you happy how the press covered your game? Because it's a very hard game to describe to another player, because of the whole way you did this game, you know.
Yeah.
you like to fuck with the mind, with the player expectations and stuff like that. So it's very hard for the typical game reviews to cover your game. Are you happy with the way they did it?
Yeah. Of course. I mean, it's I think that it's just that in that playing the game is kind of about the choices you make playing it. I like that reviewing the game also and talking about it also seems to be a reflection of the choices you make in trying to review it. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate when people do something really different and unique with it, you know, like with trying to talk about it. It's not that this is like, less interesting or whatever, but you know, so like a bunch of people have done the kind of like, this review is about reviewing the Stanley Parable, right? And I've seen a number of people and who've done like different takes on that and different interpretations. I've seen people who did like multiple reviews all in at once in the same review, you know, or people who did like video reviews where the video kept restarting over and over. Jim Sterling on Destructoid did an interesting review where he just literally said like, the Stanley Parable is a game about how difficult it is to describe something that is complex and weird. And the best thing that I could do in reviewing it is not to tell you a single thing about it. Mm. 10 out of 10. Right. And like that was the whole review.
Yeah.
And so like, I like that those things, you know, the farther out that something is, the weirder it is, the more that I like that it exists, you know, even regardless of whether or not, like, if I also like it, that's really cool. But I'm really just glad that people would do something different, you know, like something outside of the mold, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's like, oh, cool. That was really awesome for that to happen.
I like that your creativity inspired other people to be creative as well.
Yeah.
You know? That's like the greatest compliment you can give an artist, I guess.
I think what it's about at the end of the day, you know, it's like, what does this inspire in turn?
How do you describe the game to other people if they ask you?
I don't. I seriously, I don't. And this is a very conscious, you know, like, I know that I'm often amongst and talking with developers who have kind of a hook, you know, for like talking about their game. And this is a wonderful thing that for many people to do, to understand and to have that skill for many games, that's the appropriate way to do it. Right. And it's not a value thing. But I've sort of made a choice never to do that with Stanley Parable.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I decided I would find it more interesting to not do that. And like, so every time someone asks me what it's about, I make up something new, you know, like
even that fits the game, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Right. Sure. Part of the reason that we made the demo is so that when it comes to, should I purchase it? You have something that you can go to and play and to understand a bit of what it is and to know what it is you're paying for. Right. So like that's useful in that sense. Like when the original game was free, we could just say, hey, just go play the game. Right. And having something like that where I can actually put something in front of you, because the words I use to describe it are never going to do it justice. But then I'll have people play the demo and they'll tell me what they think it is. And they'll describe it in better language than I could have used to tell them about it.
The demo totally sold me. That's like the best demo I've ever played, because it's a total unique thing, because it's a standalone game in itself, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
it totally gives you the idea what to expect in the game, and even these expectations get broken, and get
yes.
That's a perfect fit for the game, and I like the idea that you made customized version for some famous Let's Players.
Yeah.
To fuck with their minds as well. That's
right,
just brilliant.
Right, right. And you know, the fact, like, if you didn't know anything about the Stanley Parable and you asked me what's it about, and I was like, well, it's gonna fuck with your expectations, mm-hmm. right? And you're like, oh, okay. That doesn't really tell me anything. Like, what is it? What do you do, right? But then if you go and play the demo, and you'll be like, oh, I get it. It's gonna fuck with your expectations. Right. And you could say the same thing, but it would mean something very different.
Mm.
Right. Like, you know, it's not the words that you use. It's what the words are trying to say that is deeper than that.
Mm.
Right. Cause, you know, when whatever language you find for it is your own, right? Like that's, you know, there, you know, no one else may ever describe it in that exact way that you described it. Right. Mm. And that's your experience. But it's only ever just pointing to, like, internally, this is what you felt about it, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted it to be, is to, like, give to inspire you to use new language to try to talk about what you felt.
Hmm. Can you give us a little bit insight in the development of the game? Like, how did it all start? You started with the mod for Half-Life 2?
Yeah, I started with the mod. I made that for 2 years. I released that, and then William came to me and said, hey, let me work on this to make it just nicer, look nicer. I was like, yeah, okay, sure.
Hmm. But how did you come up with the general idea, making a game about, you know, like the choices in games and stuff?
I don't know.
In the shower, like always.
Yeah, probably, right? I couldn't do very much with the Source SDK because I wasn't very good with it. I could make like hallways and sound, and I like narrators. So I thought like, okay, let's just go with this, see where it goes.
Hmm.
But you know, the reality is that that's an unanswerable question.
Yeah.
You know, because no one knows where it came from. Like, where did it just, it felt obvious. Right. But no one likes hearing that, you know, because it doesn't explain anything. And I couldn't even tell you. Right.
It just grew.
Yeah, it does. You start somewhere and it just kind of grows. And you're like, oh, now it's this. Oh, now it's this. Oh, now it's this. And then you look back 4 years later and you're like, whoa, I didn't even know that's where it was going.
Hmm.
Right?
I love the room in Antechamber where you where you see all the different states that game made
right.
through the years. And you have something similar in one of the rooms. I really enjoyed that part, but it's very hard. It's very difficult to imagine how much content you destroyed and redone. Is there a lot of like choices you just deleted and hated and brought back to life and stuff like that?
We threw away so much content. You know, we really did, and then the museum in the game only touches on like a little fraction of it.
Mm.
You know, there was so much that we did that just never went anywhere.
How did you decide when the game is ready? You know, like you don't have a big publisher who says that's the release date. And one of these games where you can always add something. It's like it's a never ending story, isn't it?
It kind of is, right? But that's not really the whole story, because like that's only partially true, right? Like there's this notion in indie development that like, oh, we're free from the shackles of the man, right? Like we can do anything we want, right? You know, and that's kind of true, but that's not always it's not always a good thing to have no constraints, right? Because like, you know, we made this game in 2 years. We could have spent 5 years on it, right? No question about it. Could have spent 5 years, right? And we would have had not enough stuff to keep going. You know, like 6 months or so before release of the game, I realized that if we might just never stop,
mm-hmm.
right? That it was possible that if we didn't set a release date. So William and I sat down and said, okay, from here on out, everything that we do is going to go toward releasing a game, right? And that's what we did. And if we hadn't done that, you know, the last 6 months were by far the most productive 6 months of the entire development, right? Because we knew that we wanted to finish it in 6 months, you know? And like, if we hadn't, it would have taken another year to have accomplished, I think, what we did in that period of time, right? And, you know, we don't have infinite money, right? To be like doing this. We, by the end of it, we were both working full time on it. And like, it's just not good for you anyway, I don't think, right? Like to spend, like, I would rather do something new. You know, I want to make new stuff. I don't want to spend forever doing Stanley Parable. Like I respect that people, that there are people who want this to have been like some belabored, you know, decade long process of brutal, like, love and passion and tears and sweat and blood and everything. But I don't know if that's how I want my work. I think I want my work to be like happier and lighter, you know, and to be not so tortured. And it's not worth it, you know, like, it's really not. So like, we set a deadline, you know, we knew that when the date was going to be several months in advance, and we said, well, we're going to finish it. And we cut it very close, you know, we were very, very close to the line, to the end there. So I really don't think it's a healthy idea to get into a mindset of like no constraints, you know, no, because then you just get carried away, you know, and you're always giving something up, right?
You don't get shit done that this way, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, you're always giving something up. Like when the company has a deadline and a structure, like, you know that you're going to be shipping a product, right? And it's going out into the hands of people, right? I don't want to start something. I don't know. I want to have more interaction with the people who play my work. I want to put something out more regularly.
Yeah, yeah. You said you worked full time in the last couple of months. How did you finance the game in the beginning, like the 2 years of development?
Well, I was a student.
Yeah. Then. Okay.
So I was in school doing stuff, doing it in my free time.
Okay, and then the last couple of months you just stopped and worked full time on the game.
And so I worked another year on it while I was doing bar and restaurant jobs, and then the last year of development I worked on it full time with, like, you know, savings and family money.
So you're going on a vacation right now?
Well, I don't know if you call it a vacation. It's going to be like a festival.
Like a time out.
Yeah, basically. But I'm really looking forward to it, just to get away, to not spend all day responding to emails. That's the intention. We'll see if that works. Yeah. Yeah, no, but I'm just going to be there hanging out in Toronto with some friends and seeing stuff and doing things and being around other good people. So it'll be as much of a vacation as I get right now.
How do you decide what your next game is going to be? Like, now you mentioned you have some kind of freedom to just let the ideas come and inspect those ideas and see where they're going to. But like you said, you need a deadline and a goal to reach. What's your way to find a new game, and how do you handle the huge expectations after a game like that, you know?
I plan to be smarter going into whatever we work on next. I know a lot now that I didn't know back then, and that I would not let the development of the game go in that direction anymore. You know, it was a bit too chaotic working on this the way that we did, and we are going to be a lot smarter, right? And I don't know what that means yet, and I don't want to know, right? Like, I don't know. I know that I feel like expectations or whatever, but I know that, like, the anxiety, that's also just another phase that I think maybe just needs to pass through me. And once it's gone, then I'll be able to do the work I want to do, knowing that whatever I do will be just fine.
Are you happy with, like, the working in a small team like you did now, or do you think there's growth in your studio, in your growing studio right now?
I don't know. I'm not, like, everything about the work that we're doing and Galactic Cafe is, it's very fluid, you know, and I know that we have the ability to just take our hands off the wheel a little bit and kind of just see where it goes. Right? To just, I don't know. Right? To let something happen to it that I hadn't expected.
Yeah.
Basically. Right? Like I want us now to just be able to kind of put our intentions into it and our work and see what happens without us trying to direct it in any one particular direction too much.
Mm.
Right. Which I don't know. I don't know what that means. Right. It's just that I think that whatever does happen is going to be, I want whatever happens to be a result of the kind of collective force amongst us, like a Ouija board, you know, kind of like collectively pushing the company in some direction that even we don't entirely understand.
Yeah, I just hope Kevin Brighting is in your next game as well, the narrator of this game.
I mean, yeah, no. I mean, I'd love to do more work with him, but I also know that I don't want to get too comfortable with anyone. Like, I don't want to start designing for a certain recurring element, for example, right? Like I want to make sure that I sort of want, because I know that that's kind of an expectation in a sense, or because it's a design like tool that I've got, I kind of want to throw it out and force and make myself do something that I'm less comfortable with.
Mm.
Right. But so I don't know. Right. I don't have any idea what's going to happen. Yeah. You know, I know I have that there, but I don't want to be like complacent with it.
Could you imagine working in a huge developer, AAA company style? Or is it like,
I don't know. I've never done it. I literally know. I have friends who work there, so I know like a little bit about it tangentially, but I've never, I don't know.
You know, having the freedom to like, direct like 20 to 30 programmers and designers and stuff like that. Like if you would get an offer like from Ubisoft or stuff like that, you know, like, man, here, direct our new blah 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 game.
Man, directing like four people and like communicating between, you know, four people was so stressful. I don't even know what 20 people would be like. I don't know if that's where I want my energy to go.
Mm.
You know, I'm pretty sure that is not, I don't know. It'd be a fun experience, right? Like, I really couldn't say. I couldn't tell you until I were to do it, right? Find out. But you know, there's always a trade-off. And, like, just in terms of the time spent doing that, I don't know. Would it be worth it? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you. And I probably won't. You know, like, the reality is probably not going to happen. In, like, an isolated universe where I could just do that and have it not take up time, then, sure, I'd give it a shot. Right, but I think I would rather spend my time doing something like, I'm mostly confident what my conclusion would be coming away from that experience.
Mm.
Right, there'd be some lessons I'd learn, but I could probably learn a lot more lessons by going and doing something that I knew less about.
Yeah. Do you dream of Stanley sometimes, or in the game, or the narrator even?
I never dream in the content of the game. I dream about deadlines and, you know, review scores. And I never dream in the world of Stanley. I always dream production.
Because it happened to me like once that I played so much Tetris as a kid that I couldn't stop thinking about Tetris. You know, like, I just imagined you lying in bed and hearing the narrator in your dreams.
Yeah, you know, not as much as you'd think.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be surprised, but we really don't. Because I know the nuts and bolts of the game. I know that, you know, like, I know that it's all WAV files and BSPs and VMFs and everything. And I'm too familiar with the guts of it.
The narrator loses its personality because you know which file is played at which point.
Yeah, exactly. Right. He's not really like an organic character to me the way he is to other people. But like, one thing that we did that was really fun was William, you know, is the level designer. So he actually builds all of the environments. And so I had Kevin I sent off a script to Kevin to record, and I had him record an extra little piece of dialogue. So like in the lounge, right, which is a room where the narrator thinks that Stanley must really love this room. So he has all of these lines of dialogue for how much Stanley loves the room. And so I had Kevin record an extra piece of dialogue talking to William about the room and about why it's not really that good of a room. And he could really work on his level design to improve the room. And here are some suggestions for ways that he could improve the room to like make it, you know, better for players. And so we stuck that in. We snuck that into the files and then had William test it out. We were like, hey, you know, so just updated, you know, the files. Why don't we run through it and give it a quick test just to make sure everything's working? So he did and was like super confused and was like, what's going on here? And he was like really, really lost, but he thought it was wonderful. Like he got to, you know, cause we don't get to play our own game. Right. Mm-hmm. But he got to play the game. He actually got the experience of playing Stanley Parable at that moment. I think he really, that was a really nice thing to get to do.
Yeah. So thanks a lot for your time. It was very nice talking to you.
Of course. It's a lovely chat.
And I wish you best of luck with the rest of the sale curve on the game. It's available on Steam, of course, just PC. I was a bit disappointed because there's no Mac version.
We're working on the Mac port right now. I'm getting a Mac out to our programmer so that he can start that as soon as possible.
Yeah. And please play the demo, you listeners, before you buy the game, because otherwise you would miss a great part of the game. Thanks for your time and good luck with the next game. I'm looking forward to that, whatever it may be. And have a nice vacation and a nice free time.
Thank you very much. And thank you for having me. It's been wonderful.
Bye.
Bye.